Hi, my name is Dr. Nick Pinkerton, and I am the Associate Dean of Counseling and Well-Being at Southern Connecticut State University.
And I'm Dr. Allison Regis, and I'm the coordinator of the Well-Being Center at Southern Connecticut State University.
Healthy Minds Alliance is an innovative AmeriCorps program managed by Health 360 that engages AmeriCorps members of all ages and backgrounds to meet critical mental health needs in communities served by their host sites. AmeriCorps members serving with the Healthy Minds Alliance receive a stipend during their 10-month service term, and upon completion of their service term, receive an education award which can be used to repay qualified student loans and to pay current educational expenses at eligible institutions of higher education and training programs. If you're interested in becoming an AmeriCorps member or would like information on how your organization could become a host site, please see our show notes for information on how to apply.
Welcome, current, former, future AmeriCorps service members. My name is Michael, and I will be your host for today's Healthy Minds Alliance podcast. And I'm also a currently serving AmeriCorps member. Joining me today is Nick and Allison. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have both of you on.
Excited to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So we have some questions that we usually start with to kind of get to know people a little bit better. Again, feel free to jump in and out however you feel comfortable. But let's start a little bit about your organization. So you're with a university. So if you want to tell me a little bit about it or specifically the part of the university you work with, either one would be fine.
Sure. So we're at the Well-Being Center at Southern Connecticut State University. And for the Well-Being Center, we're kind of the go-to place for students seeking support. So we're an integrated hub where we try to connect students with resources, education, and a lot of prevention work around different types of health and well-being initiatives. And this is also a center that we aim to really promote a holistic approach to well-being. So we look at well-being not just related to physical health, but also mental health, spiritual health, and just the other ways that can have students be healthy.
Fantastic. And specifically, what is your role in this organization?
So for my role, I actually just started about 6 months ago as the coordinator. So I kind of run the day-to-day operations here.
Yeah, so I am the Associate Dean of Counseling and Well-Being. I get the amazing pleasure of getting to oversee the great work done by the Well-Being Center, by Allison and her team. And I also get to oversee the work done by counseling services, health services, and violence prevention and victims advocacy. This is, of course, at Southern Connecticut State University. We are a regional public higher education institution in Connecticut. We're located in the New Haven area, and it's a wonderful place. It's an amazing community, and we are really excited about, as Allison mentioned, the opportunity to really promote well-being across our campus and community in a preventative way. And that's really where I think our Health 360 partnership has really been a wonderful partnership for us.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you both again for being here. Now, I am unfortunately kind of ignorant of your organization, but I'm going to ask some questions to help me and the audience learn more about you. How many students attend your university generally, like each semester or each year?
Currently, we have roughly 8,000 students, but that number, you know, shifts and changes a bit year to year. So I think the most recent estimates, I can feel fairly confident in that. And I think Southern is also known as a very diverse institution, and that we serve just a wide array of our students and student body, many of whom come, you know, from the local area here in New Haven, many first generation students, many students of color, many students, you know, who just make up such an incredible, diverse, and really amazing community.
The services that you offer, are they available only to students, or can someone in the community also access them?
So the services that we provide are towards our students.
The only thing I would add to that, because that's absolutely the case and where our priority lies. I will say the Health 360 partnership has allowed us to expand some of the specific resources and trainings that we've been offering to community members. So we have actually had some of our community members, folks from other colleges, folks that are just in the surrounding community who have heard about the good work that we've done. For example, one event that we did was for specifically training first responders here in Connecticut on mental health first aid. And so, you know, while we certainly focus most of our services specifically for the students here at Southern, we have actually been able to expand out to the broader community in some ways through this program.
All right. And that is a perfect segue. It kind of rolls me into the next things I wanted to talk about. You are the host site supervisor, correct?
Yes.
You are the person that kind of help oversees and organizes your AmeriCorps service members who are working within your organization. So I wanted to ask a couple questions about that. How long has your organization been a host site for AmeriCorps members?
Sure. So this is our first year.
Okay,
we're
great.
Really excited about this being our first year. And as Allison mentioned, she has been with us really for a matter of months and has just been incredible. And I think what we've been able to do is really partner in our supervision in the day-to-day operations and support of our AmeriCorps members too. So while I'm technically the site supervisor, I also want to make sure to acknowledge that Allison has a major role in the day-to-day support and operations with our folks.
Oh, excellent. So, because again, I didn't know going in, for all I know, you've been doing this for 30 years. Are there any considerations that you could share that went into the decision to reach out and apply to become a host site supervisor?
You know, for us, this was an opportunity that really came out of the grant for Connecticut Campus Mental Health Program, the CCAP grant.
Okay.
And this was an amazing opportunity. We could go in a number of different directions, of course, with the grant funding. But when we heard about the Health 360 program, we were really excited about what it offers. You know, more and more. So I'm a psychologist. I've been the director of the counseling center now for the past 4 years. And you know, I love getting to do my work of supporting students who are, you know, struggling with their mental health, who need that kind of support and intervention. And at the same time, I think as you do this work, as the sort of adage goes, right, you sort of are pulling people out of the water and saving them one by one. But at some point, you have to ask yourself, where's everyone falling in? And how do I get there? How do I do the preventative work in a really intentional way of making sure to empower our community to know how to recognize when a student is struggling or when a community member is struggling? To know how to recognize that, how to respond effectively. And then, of course, how to refer that person to professional supports and services if and when they need it. And it's about that empowerment of the community to know how to do that, that this program really, really does a remarkable job. So we've focused our program really on two major trainings. We have the QPR, which is Question, Persuade, Refer, and that's a suicide prevention program that's nationally recognized and evidence-based that you do get a certificate as well from being involved with and going through that training. So we historically had a sort of homegrown program for suicide prevention, and it was quite effective. And at the same time, I think it didn't quite get the response that we've gotten from QPR, because of the fact that it is this evidence-based, nationally recognized program. You know, people are really drawn to this program because they know that it has that level of legitimacy and backing. And so that's been amazing. And that the, in addition to that, the Mental Health First Aid, which is a 7-hour program, as it's been tied to a grant, we've been lucky enough to sort of provide lunch as well for many of our folks that are going to give up a day to be with our AmeriCorps workers and have them do their training. But this really dives in a little bit deeper into a number of different mental health concerns. So let's take anxiety, depression, maybe, you know, bipolar disorder, and it goes on. And it talks about, in a similar way, how do you recognize when someone might be in distress? How do you support this person? What are the essential information and skills that you need to get that person the help that they might need. And this is very similar, I think, to first aid and mm-hmm. CPR. You know, you would take a first aid training course and a CPR training course to be able to know how to support someone when they're in medical distress. Well, this is really very analogous to that, but it's related to mental health concerns. And certainly we've seen mental health concerns rise in their level of significance and awareness in a very big way. And we're very proud to bring that to our campus and to the community. So it's been very successful overall. Our AmeriCorps VISTA workers, and I'll let Allison expand on their work and working with them, have been amazing. But that's really what drew our interest to this program.
Very quickly about myself, I also work at a school. Mine is a K through 12 Montessori school that I'm there also through a grant that pays for me to be there. And through my AmeriCorps service, I do the youth mental health first aid trainings. I'm very passionate about it. I'm very thankful that I get to help spread this education to people in our communities. So I see a lot of value in that. And it's very nice to hear how incorporated that is. So I want to ask you, Allison, so what does an average day look like for your service members who come from AmeriCorps? You know, there's some weird terminology, like they're technically, they don't work there, they serve there, they don't get paid, but they get a stipend. You know, make sure that we cover that so that the Health 360 doesn't yell at me. But they are active in your building. They are doing work. They're performing work as a service. How are they integrated with the other people that are actual employees? What does the day in the life look like for your AmeriCorps service members? I guess is how I should sum that up succinctly too late now.
Yeah, so for our AmeriCorps service members, they're definitely part of our team. I think that's one thing that we really try to be very intentional about. So on our team, there's Nick, there's me. We also have a full-time well-being specialist along with three graduate interns. So it's been interesting to try to figure out, you know, how do our roles really overlap, but then also the unique areas that our AmeriCorps service members bring to the table. And so we've been working with them to, so they've been part of the team. So staff meetings, they've been part of, I thought it was very important for them to be aware of what we're doing in the well-being center outside of them and also vice versa. So for other staff members to understand what the AmeriCorps service members are doing, because it's really not separate at all, has that synergy. So that's been, I think, very important this year. And so I guess a day in the life, it doesn't always look the same every day, I'd say, which, you know, for some people, I think they really enjoy. So a lot of it can depend on which departments or organizations on campus may reach out or have already reached out for mental health first aid or QPR trainings. We also have our staff meetings that people are part of. And depending on how their schedules allow, we've also had them partner with our graduate interns to do other smaller programs on campus. So people are getting to see their faces, know their names, and they've really taken charge in even reaching out to a lot of the clubs and organizations and other departments, and also using the connections that we all have as part of the Wellbeing Center in order to facilitate a lot of that. So it's been really great having them here, I think. And also, I think working with them, trying to figure out what's the best way that we can really spread a lot of the great work that they're doing, keeping in mind the limited time that they're with us.
Yeah, again, that sounds amazing. Very similar to kind of what I'm doing. Obviously, it's a little bit different being a university versus a you know, K through 12 school. And you know, AmeriCorps members run the gambit of age and experiences and backgrounds. But we do find that a lot of our members are usually on the younger side, either entering college, leaving college, and some of them are looking for experiences. They get to serve, but they also get to learn what it's like to be with an organization. Maybe help them decide if this is a career they want to be in or not, but also gain a foothold within an organization. So if we had someone who was looking at trying to use their service as a way to, you know, become ingrained in an organization, is there anything that you would want to say to someone with that in mind?
Yeah, I would say when it came to, I think of the recruitment process for this, you know, if you're interested in doing this kind of service, and it is an amazing opportunity to provide service to, you know, to your nationally, to regionally. It is, as you mentioned, maybe a chance to get a foot in the door in an agency where you might see yourself wanting to figure out, would I be happy here? Is there an opportunity to make some connections to increase my sort of social mobility in some ways by seeing if this is going to end up opening some doors at some point, or just let me know, am I on the right track here? Is this where I can imagine myself moving forward? I think that it's a great opportunity for that. You know, you're committing to 10 months to provide this service. And in, you know, for our service members, Tishana and Tracy, who have just been remarkable, they now are trained in QPR and mental health first aid. Those trainings are going to be certifications that they have moving forward. And they now have under their belt the experience of training hundreds of students and faculty and staff and community members in these really critical topics of suicide prevention and mental health awareness. These skills that they're developing, I think, will certainly be something they can put on a resume, things that they can speak to and a potential employer about that might serve them very well moving forward, both for themselves, but also as a leader, as someone who can train other folks. There's, you know, that part of what a day in the life to sort of build off of that, you know, they're hosting workshops and trainings with a dozen or so folks ranging from, you know, PhD faculty members in engineering to a student who's studying social work and, you know, wants to get this certification and information. And so they have really honed their own skills, I think, in teaching and in training through this process. And I think that that will make them very valuable assets to really any agency that they move forward and are interested in.
Again, great to hear. As someone, you know, I'm a bit on the older end of the spectrum, but being able to facilitate training across different levels within an organization, whether it be students, faculty, or interns to CEOs, is a skill that doesn't come easy. But if you master it, you can take that just about anywhere and do almost anything that you would want with it. So speaking to you specifically, as the host site supervisor, you know, you said you've been doing this for about a year. This is your first year. If you could go back and tell yourself at the beginning of this process, something that you now know that would have helped be the process smoother, or again, think about someone else who's out there listening who's thinking about, well, maybe we should be a host site. What is something you might tell someone as they're starting the process?
Well, one thing that I think I would say is just know that the program exists, know that it's here, that it's kind of an amazing opportunity. If I can just say too, that you're spending, you know, say roughly $10,000 and then getting back the additional support of having someone there for 10 months in a full-time position to be able to do this work. The Health 360 program is supporting you and orienting that AmeriCorps worker who's taking care of a lot of sort of the employment end of this equation, so that you're really hosting this person. But to do that for this amount and to be given this level of support and resources, I think it's going to be hard to find something that seems to have that much value. So I would say just knowing that it exists and that it's here is certainly the first step. I would say the second would be in terms of recruitment. You know, don't be afraid of looking at your own agency. You know, for us as a college, we have many students who are studying mental health or the healthcare industry more broadly, or who have been student leaders in our community. We're lucky to have one of our AmeriCorps workers actually who's a graduate of Southern. And, you know, she is well aware of what's going on for the students here. She has that experience. She knows. And so don't be afraid to sort of help with the recruitment process in terms of actually looking at your own folks that you know who may be interested in an opportunity like this if they only knew that it existed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can, of course, you'll get assistance as well in terms of the national and regional applicants who apply to this program. But I think you can also look to people who you're already familiar with, depending on your setting, and reach out to them, let them know that this is an opportunity that they can apply and that they can do that through the Health 360 program in that partnership. So those would be the two maybe biggest pieces that I would mention.
Again, great to hear that. Again, that's one of the goals of this podcast, is to help spread the awareness that this is a program that even exists that people can know about, both from the AmeriCorps service member, but also the host site level. So Allison, I'll kind of ask you the same question, but in reference to the people, the service members who are coming in, who this might be their first opportunity to look at this like a job. Again, it's not, it's a service, but it acts a lot like a job. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about applying to do something like this, either at your organization or just in general?
I would say, I mean, I think in some ways, maybe some advice can be treating this like a job in terms of just that, you know, the level of professionalism that's required, because I think sometimes it can be, I don't know, it can be easy to think like, oh, this isn't necessarily a traditionally paid employment. So sometimes people may approach that not necessarily in a way that treats it in that way. Thankfully, we've had awesome members who've mm-hmm. had like the utmost professionalism. So I think that's been great. So I think just like kind of similar to any job, figuring out where you might fit in, what are the skill sets that you have, maybe even seeing what's needed, asking questions, I think can be really important. And I think just realizing also you can learn from everyone, because I say that just thinking about our AmeriCorps service members and how they've kind of approached the role very open to, okay, well, what can I do? Or I have these ideas, and, you know, in a way that, and I think we've been trying to be very open with, okay, yes, we want your ideas. We really value them. Let's try to work together and figure things out. And so I really appreciated that they've brought that energy to the role and that enthusiasm and just that willingness to learn, kind of like what we were talking about before, because there are a lot of transferable skills that they can take away from this role. Even in addition, I think, to the teaching is even just being able to maybe, at least in the case of our service members, being able to engage in difficult dialogues that we're starting to, I think, have more as a country. So I think, being willing to just take a lot of different lessons from the role and approach it with that positivity is great.
I super appreciate both of you giving me your time today. I want to be respectful of it, but I also want to give you an opportunity if there's something I didn't ask about, but you're like, man, I really hope I get to talk about this today, or I really hope there's a question about this. Just assume I asked that question and then tell me what you wanted me to know. So Nick, is there anything I didn't ask about that you just want to share?
Well, I guess I just want to, if I could add one more thing, I just want to give a shout out to our AmeriCorps Vista workers, Tashana Williams and Tracy Stuardi. They have really done an amazing job. I could sing the praises of our team and of Allison and the work and Aaron Duff and everyone that's been involved in this this process in terms of making it work. But we've been very, very pleased with our partnership with Health 360. They've just been a wonderful and very professional group to work with. And again, just the day-to-day, knowing, as we sort of have talked about this service mission aspect of this, what Tracy and Tashana have put in to this effort and how important they've made it has been just something that I want to call out and acknowledge and say thank you. Our entire community is benefiting from the remarkable work that they're doing, really to potentially save lives and to promote well-being and mental health on our campus and in our community. So really, from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of our heart, thank you for everything that you've done. And for all those potential service members out there, please know that the impact that you have, that you may have, can be great. So don't hesitate, get in there and make a difference. And I wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you. I really appreciate you sharing that. Allison, kind of the same question to you. What didn't I ask that you wish I had?
I think one thing is just that there have been a lot of benefits to just having our AmeriCorps service members that we were talking about before, but I think also particularly I've noticed just that there's been a lot more openness to collaboration, I think, with other departments, because it, in some ways, it's worked. Like I was saying, I think the synergy from before is that there were certain departments that we already had connections with that were very open to having our AmeriCorps service members train their team, but there were also the reverse, that there were other departments that got introduced a little bit more through QPR, mental health first aid, and now they're kind of reaching out for our department related to other services that we provide. So I think that that's also been a good benefit, has been, I think, just increased awareness and communication around our overall mission for the Wellbeing Center. And also there are other AmeriCorps service members on our campus. And so they're in other offices. So it's also been helpful to be able to, those are people I didn't necessarily know, but the AmeriCorps service members knew their other cohort mates. So I think that's also been helpful to just for all of us to get connected a lot better as a community.
As we bring this week's episode to a close, I just want to once again say thank you to Nick and to Allison for joining me today and sharing a little bit about their experience with the AmeriCorps Service Program as host site supervisors and organizers. I hope you have enjoyed listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week when we have another amazing guest to chat with. As a reminder, if you are interested in becoming a service member or have any questions about serving, or perhaps your organization is interested in becoming a host site, you will find information and links to follow in our show notes.